Tonight's speaker is our brother Ed Davis. He'll be exhorting us on the attributes of God. Turn it over to you, Ed.
So far, and I think it's going to wind up being a phenomenal week. But before we get into this talk, I have a few words to say about our Central Florida gathering. Now, I know it's a little early. This is 2025. It will be from February 28th to March 2nd, Lord willing. And I just wanted to let everyone know, especially those in the cold climates, the sun's a little brighter, the birds sing a little sweeter. At that time of year, and when you're really tired of being snowed in, there's a place to go. So think about that. So when we think about the attributes of God, we're actually seeking to find out the answers to questions like, who is God? I mean, we know from studying the scriptures, God works with mankind, with the faithful, with the unfaithful. But we want to know more about what is God like and what manner of God is he? You know, an attribute of God is something that is true about him. We want to fully comprehend who God is. We want to see and understand, even though we are limited in our understanding at times, because we are humans, and Yahweh is the great creator and maker of all life. So there's miles between our thoughts and his thoughts. You know, our God, even Yahweh, is unlike anything or anyone we have ever known or ever could have imagined. He says this in the book of Isaiah. This is in Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9. He says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. He is truly unique and without comparison, and besides him, there is no God." I'd like to turn it over to Isaiah chapter 44, and we'll read verses 6 through 8 here. "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last, and besides thee there is no God. And who as I shall call, and shall declare it, and set in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people, and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show unto them. Fear not, neither be afraid. Have I not told thee from that time and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any." So even describing him with mere words falls short of capturing truly who he is. You know, our words, coming from men of fleshly nature, cannot do justice to describe our Creator. Still, God possesses attributes that we can and do know, even if it's just in part. He has given us his written word as a means for us to understand who he is, and to help us understand his divine character. The following is a list of most readily identifiable attributes of God that I can think of. And there's probably more, but this is what I have. And when we look at this, we see some amazing things, especially in the first six. So these first seven, these are qualities possessed by Yahweh alone. And there's other qualities that God possesses, and there are those that we can work towards in some degree, but only Yahweh possesses them perfectly. So we can be faithful, good, just, and merciful, but Yahweh has it to perfection. So let's take a look at some of these that apply strictly to Yahweh, that man cannot work towards, but what Yahweh is. So we see God is infinite. And infinite, as we know, means subject to no limitation, extending indefinitely with no limit. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 12 through 15, tell us who hath measured the waters in the hollows of his hand, and meted out heaven in the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And in verse 18 of the same chapter, we read, to whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? And in verses 20 through 22 of Isaiah 40, we find, have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spread them out as a tent to dwell in. Wow, such language, such beauty, expressing the thoughts of what Yahweh is. And again, down in verse 25 of the same chapter, to whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He called them by all names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. And finally, in verse 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, Yahweh, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. We're told in Psalms 147, verse 5, greater is our Lord, and of great power, his understanding is infinite. The fact that God is self-existent, that he has always existed forever, is perhaps one of the hardest things that we as flesh will try to understand. This is one of the hardest attributes of God for us to comprehend sometimes. You know, because we're of limited understanding. Everything in our world has a beginning and an end. But the things of God, Yahweh himself is forever. It has no start, it has no end. We see things like the plant cycle. We see the seed, it germinates, becomes a small plant, grows into a tree, produces fruit. And it will do that season after season, time after time for many years. But eventually that tree is going to die. It'll be cut down, and its final end It's fire relief. We have things like vegetables, the things that grow from the earth, wheat, grass, etc. We know how long vegetables last. If we don't use them right away, we wish we ate that yesterday. It's gone. So it has an expiration date. It's not by the manufacturer per se. It's by the Almighty. These things don't last. So everything that we see that does expire reminds us of something. Even mechanical things. You know, the beginning of a brand new car. In the end, it will more than likely be in the junkyard. So the things that are created and manufactured by man are just the same as plant life and animal life. Humans, we have a life progression. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 6 and 7. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. So we know we too have our life cycle. And this is what we see in everything. Building construction, eventually a building is going to deteriorate to the point it's going to be taken down, or it's going to be remodeled several times and then taken. But for us to understand that there is a God who exists outside of what we know and understand as the life cycle of all things is more than most humankind can handle or comprehend. You know, when we look at the people of the world, they try to bring Yahweh down to our level so they can understand. They want to understand Him according to the ways and the rules of the flesh, the things that pertain to us. But that's not who God is. You know, He is the creator of all things. The name of God is used some 6,800 times in the Bible, in one form or the other. It's the personal covenant name of Israel's God. In the King James Version of the Bible, it's translated Lord God. Not only does it speak of God's strength, but it also speaks of the sovereignty of God and the goodness of God, His very name. The root of His name means self-existing, one who never came into being and one who always will be. In Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, Moses asked God, who shall I tell the children of Israel that has sent me? And what is he told? Let's take a look. Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come into the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say unto me, what is his name? And what shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say to the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you. And I am that I am means to exist. That is, to be or become or to come to pass. So he is self-existent, always existing, even according to his name. Now we could spend forever on these attributes, so we're going to move along here. We're going to look at God as immutable. Immutable means unchanging over time. So he doesn't change. Not even a bit. He is what he is, great and holy, the Almighty. Psalm 146, verses 1 and 2 tells us, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. See, we can always rely on Yahweh, for God is our shelter, our safe place, our refuge in the storm, and our help in times of trouble. He's the only one in existence who never changes, who doesn't shift in difficult circumstances or crumble when life gets hard. He's our everlasting rock. and we are secure when we run to Him. This world will have troubles. We can be sure of that. And maybe we find ourselves in those troubles. Maybe we're there right now. But be assured, nothing takes God by surprise. He is steadfast, immovable, and we can find help and protection beneath His wings. In Psalm 91, the psalmist wrote that He is my refuge and my fortress. This is in verses 1 through 6 in Psalm 91. Here we read, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday." And also Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. We read this one, but just an emphasis I wanted to read again. "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not?" And how important is that for us to know, especially in these last days? We look at the world around us and we see all this turmoil, wars, rumors of wars. God is unchangeable. What He has said is firm and steadfast. His will be done. He fainteth not, neither is weary. God does not change. Who He is never changes. His attributes are the same before the beginning of time to eternity. His character never changes. He never gets better, but He never gets worse. He is perfection. His plans do not change, and His promises do not change. And that's another precious thing to us. The promises that we have been told and Yahweh has made secure, they are, for sure, they are a reality, or will become a reality quite soon. That's what we pray for. This is an incredible source of joy for us as believers. It means simply that our Almighty God is dependable. He's there. You know, we know dependable people. We can think of people that are responsible, but Yahweh is, you know, 100 times more perfect and responsible than anyone or anything we've ever known. Our trust in Him is therefore a confident trust, for we know that He will not change as a man does, for His purposes are unfailing and His promises are unassailable. God is self-sufficient. Self-sufficient means emotionally and intellectually independent, needing no outside help. You know, as limited human beings, we have incredible needs. When we think about it, we have to eat. We need to have clean air to breathe, water. Those are just the basics of life. Plus, we need the truth. We need that Word of God. And if these things are unfulfilled, they will eventually result in our death. Yahweh, however, has never once been in need of anything. For God is perfectly complete within His own being. The self-sufficiency of God means He possesses infinite riches of being in wisdom, in goodness, and in power in and of Himself. John chapter 5, verse 26 speaks of this. It reads, "For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself." For as the Father has life in Himself, He always has. It's because He's self-sufficient. And we can go to Him to satisfy all of our needs. We never have to worry about exhausting His never-ending well of goodness, peace, and mercy, or grace. Ephesians chapter 3 speaks of that great reassurance we have in our Almighty Father. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Quite amazing. God is omnipotent. Omnipotent means to have unlimited power. Made up of two separate words, omni and potent. Omni is all. Potent means powerful. Very simple. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 33. We'll read verses 6 through 9. Psalm 33, verses 6 through 9. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The very God that created the world raised the dead, provided manna in the desert, and divided the sea so that His people could walk through on dry ground. That same God, even Yahweh, is still with us today. He is there for us, covering us with the peace and power of His Spirit, leading us, opening doors, and paving the way for us when there seems to be no other possible way. He is mighty and powerful, and is at work in every detail of our lives. His word of truth reminds us that nothing is impossible for Him. God is not limited by time or circumstances or the weaknesses of our very own flesh. He works through it all, continually drawing us closer to Himself and bringing light into our lives, even though we live in a dark and evil world. Let's turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And here we'll read verses 11 through 13. First Chronicles 29, beginning at verse 11. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Yahweh is able to, he's able to and he is powerful enough to do anything that He wills without any effort on His part. It's important to notice that anything He wills, part of this statement, because God will not do anything that is contrary or contradictory to His nature. He can do all things, but He is a righteous God, and He will do righteous things. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. This is a great reassurance for us. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Yahweh's attribute of omnipotence means that He is able to do all that He desires to do. When He plans something, it will come to be. If he purposes something, it will happen. Nothing or no one can prevent his plan. When his hand is stretched out to do something, no one can turn it back. God's decisions are always in line with his character. And he has all the power to do whatever he decides to do. Scripture is clear that God is strong and mighty. Psalm 24, verse 8. This readily comes to mind. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Nothing is too hard for him to accomplish. When the angel spoke to Abraham concerning the promised son, he said, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" This is in Genesis chapter 18, verse 14. "Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." And it was so. His word was so. Seemed to be an impossible thing. That was Yahweh. Also in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17, here we read, "Ah, Lord, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." His power might cause us to fear, but we also must remember that God is good. He's infinitely good. He can do anything according to his infinite ability, but will only do those things that are consistent with himself. God is omniscient, means knowing everything. I'd like to turn to Isaiah chapter 46. We'll read verses 9 and 10 here. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9. "Remember the former things of old, for I am God. And there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and the ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." And also Proverbs 15, verse 3. "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." God is omniscient, which means he knows everything. He can be everywhere at the same time, and he never sleeps. He's aware every moment of every day of exactly what we do and what we're up against. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 21 speaks of this. Proverbs 5, verse 21. It says, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all of his goings." He knows our way and is always with us. There's no place in this earth that we can go that he doesn't see and know of. Because God is all-knowing, we can trust that he knows everything we're going through today and everything we will go through tomorrow. When we meditate on this truth, especially in the light of his other attributes of goodness and love, it makes it easier for us to have greater faith in him. God is omnipresent, meaning he is present everywhere at the same time. Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 23 through 24. The Almighty says this through the mouth of Jeremiah. "Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Saith the Lord, do not I fill heaven and earth? Saith the Lord." To be omnipresent is to be in all places at all times. Yet it is important to understand that for God to be in a place is not in the same way that we are in a place. He is with us. The fullness of his presence is all around us. Let's turn and take a look at Psalm 139. We'll read verses 7 through 12 here. Psalm 139, verses 7 through 12. Here we read, whither shall I go from my spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. In a very real way, God is always near us, closer than our thoughts. The knowledge that we are never alone calms the troubled sea of our lives and speaks peace to our reassurance and faith in Him. God is glorious. Glorious means having or deserving praise or admiration. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 4 speaks of this. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 4. And his brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of his hand, and there was the hiding of his power. When we think of the glory of the Lord, the image of the brilliant light often comes to our minds. It's certainly appropriate, as Scripture often describes the glory of God in the terms of a light that shines brighter than anything that we have ever experienced on earth. We read of this when Yahweh spoke to the children of Israel on Mount Sinai. I'd like to turn to Exodus chapter 19. And we'll read verses 16 through 19 here. Speaking of that brilliant light. And it came to pass in the third day of the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. That's an amazing time that happened when he spoke to the children of Israel. The exceeding thunders and lightnings and bright light. The glory of God is, of course, inseparable from his other attributes. So God is eternally, infinitely, and unchangeably glorious. His radiance and beauty emanate from all that he is and all that he does. Isaiah chapter 43 says that man was created by God for his glory. This is in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7. Here we read, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. So we understand that our whole existence and purpose is to glorify him, to glorify Yahweh, as we are created in his image to do the work of the truth as he has prepared us to do. Inevitably, mankind will try to find glory in other things or try to make himself an object of glory. And when those things fail to bring satisfaction, we must humble ourselves and turn back to the only one who is worthy of glory, which is our Creator. Isaiah chapter 41. Verses 10 through 13. Here we read, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee," saith Yahweh. "Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded, and they shall be as nothing. And they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, and shall not find them. Even them that contended with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, Yahweh, thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." God says this over and over in his word, "I am with you." And it's true, he is always with us. He knows our situation. He understands who we are and what we're faced with, even when no one else seems to understand or even care. We never need to have fear or to worry, because he promises not to leave us. As long as we are following him, he will be with us. He carries us when we feel like we just can't go on anymore. He strengthens us by his Holy Spirit when our struggles just feel way too big. He sent to us his Son, even Jesus, and called him Emmanuel, God with us. Our God is close, and he cares for us. Let's turn to Zephaniah chapter 3. We'll read verse 17. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing." When David gathered the materials together for the temple of the Lord that Solomon was to build in Jerusalem, he prayed this to Yahweh. This is in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 10 through 13. 1 Chronicles 29, beginning at verse 10. "Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name." May similar words be also in our minds when we contemplate the greatness and glory of Yahweh in these last days before his Son's return. You know, I wanted to give this these words tonight, not so much as an instructive lesson, but something for us to think about when we go to sleep tonight. Before we sleep, think about the greatness of God. Maybe even if you're thinking about it when you sleep, you'll think about it when you wake up. You know, each day is a new, fresh start. And the Almighty has given us that. We can start over every day. I'd like to close with a reading of Psalm 145. We'll read verses 1 through 21. Now this would make a marvelous hymn, wouldn't it? "I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations.